coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. We have arrived at the FedEx Cup playoff finale. The Tour Championship is here for all the money in the world of golf. Well, maybe not all of it, but we get to the headlines going on with PGA Tour versus LIV as well. And a nice little winner going back to back, did I, with my picks. An underwhelming update coming in golf gossip. We're tuned into a world colliding moment and film festival talk. And this week's guests, we have a historian of the game from the Golf Heritage Society. We love having GHS guests on. And this week, it's no exception, Jim Jeselnik, talking course architecture and interesting stories about Pete and Alice Dye as well. And it's a Vegas food itinerary and a product review from Mike when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. Mike, not only are they the makers of the phone caddy, like we've been telling our friends for years now, but they are also the maker of these handy dandy tumblers in which I've got a swing eight tumbler and I enjoyed very much for my most recent practice session.
You know, they're really cool looking, and the golf one in particular, because they have all these different themed ones for everybody out there. The golf one lets you know that you're having, what is it, like 10% eagles, 40% birdies, 50% par, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's just the right amount of humor for a really functional product. And you can let your imagination run wild and put whatever you want in that cup. So whether it be water or something else a little more entertaining, the Swing 8 Tumbler is the way to go. And it's brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. So check out desertfoxgolf.com and Swing 8 products as well. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off. Again, promo code Course of Life to save 10% off. desertfoxgolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and D3 Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, let's get it over with at the top of the episode here. Thanks to Patrick Cantlay becoming the first player to win back-to-back at the BMW Championship two years in a row. You now have won back-to-back with your picks 2 weeks in a row after having Zalatoris last week and Cantlay this week. So before we even talk about Patrick Cantlay and his performance and Sunday at Wilmington, why don't you just take some time to say how good you are?
I will. And there was just a massive thunder and lightning strike in the background if our audience caught that at home. And that just shows you how white lightning hot my picks are in the last couple of weeks, basically. I can bring it whenever I need to. And it's funny because for the past few months, we've been joking about how you and I have been knocking on the door with these PGA Tour picks. We put them out weekly on my runyourpool.com article preview, but also on Twitter. I'm at Course of Life 1. You're at MWRINC. And we've been getting a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds, a lot of slew of guys in the top 10, knocking on the first page of the leaderboard. Of course, the floodgates have opened now. So I just, for anyone who's out there who's been tailing the picks in some capacity, I just hope you were there the last couple of weeks, because I'm red hot and you need to be getting on the bandwagon if you haven't in the last week.
Yeah, you know, I will say I thought I had a chance coming into Sunday. I had Rory, who was in that top 10, Cam Young, Sam Burns. I had guys nipping around the top, but they all had typical Sundays. At least Rory McIlroy had a typical Sunday and just fell apart. But your guy, Patrick Cantlay, played phenomenally well. Patty Ice, as we expect, icy cold down the stretch, just making birdies and pars when he needed to do it. Ultimately, it came down to maybe, I don't know if he won so much. He just didn't do the bad things at the wrong time to lose. And
exactly.
He made that great par save on 18 out of the bunker, fairway bunker as well, which we've seen a lot of good saves out of fairway bunkers this year on tour.
Yeah, kind of reminiscent of the Matthew Fitzpatrick moment at Brookline. Mm. You know, very similar.
So Patrick Cantlay now is in fine position to win maybe a FedEx Cup in 2 years in a row. We'll talk more about the Tour Championship later. But I mean, what did you think of the other guys we saw out there who played pretty well on Sunday? Even the likes of a Scottie Scheffler, number one in the standings in the FedEx Cup, who had some good spots and not some not so good spots, but he had some good spots as well over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, for the quick run through on the top five in the FedEx Cup as we head into this Tour Championship week, Scheffler found a little form after being pretty queasy in Memphis, admittedly, and missing the cut there. We saw what we saw from Cantlay with a dominating performance. He's ready to roll in the two spot. Will Zalatoris, Mike, with the withdrawal. I don't know if you saw that. The back is bothering him again. And not good timing for that at all right now. I mean, he's still going to have obviously a fantastic year with everything he did, but at this very moment, he needs to be healthy for one more week. So we'll see how that affects things. And another guy who found a little form was Xander Schauffele. Like you mentioned, these top guys finding form just in time. Sam Burns rounding out the top five. We haven't heard quite a ton from, but I just named four of those five guys, and they are playing very well right now. So I think that's good because that justifies the FedEx Cup system. And we were a little worried about some random guys creeping into the top five at this moment, but these are truly five of the guys who are having the best seasons, and they deserve to be in the spot heading into the final week.
I just want to throw out a couple names that played well or did not play well over the weekend. Let's talk about Adam Scott. He went from 46 in the standings up to 30th, just squeaked in. He was sniffing the top of the leaderboard. He was wearing different colored socks from his shoes. Red socks.
It really bothered you, I could tell, yeah.
It didn't. I just remember what we talked about a while ago where you can get kicked out for not wearing the correct colored socks. And I just appreciate that Adam Scott is out there repping the different color sock. The not belly putter, belly putter that he's been playing for a long time. He's old for a golfer. He's what, 44, I think it
is.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, he's just squeaking in there. He's going to start at even par. We'll talk about that stupidity later as well.
Yeah. Another guy that I want to shout out that got in, Sahith Theegala, who we've talked about a lot, definitely having that great rookie campaign. I'm glad to see that he snuck in. One of those players where it's fitting that he got in because he deserves to be in the FedEx Cup Championship and make it to the top 30 because he had that caliber of a year. So that was good to see him have that sneak in amongst a few other guys as well.
Yeah, and Colin Morikawa, I think for a moment there, maybe was looking at playing himself out of the top 30, putting the ball in the water a couple times and just not playing well on Sunday at all. He just no wins at all this season, surprisingly, out of Colin Morikawa.
Very strange. Would not have predicted that, especially the way his career trajectory is gone. He got the quick PGA Tour win. He got the quick first major, and then he got the quick second follow-up, which is maybe arguably definitely the toughest of the three accomplishments. So everything had all signs pointing to him having a real breakout season, but we've yet to see that from him. So yeah, like you said, it's 30 that have officially made it through. And yeah, shout out to Cantlay and my picks 2 weeks in a row off the Willie Z winner at 25-1, Cantlay at 12-1. Let's keep it rolling again for the finale.
Let's turn our attention to a meeting that happened early in the week as well. It's all over golf Twitter and everywhere else. Alan Shipnuck kind of reported the contents of this meeting first over the Fire Pit Collective. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, all of them kind of leading the charge in the 18 of the top 20. Two people noticeably absent from this meeting. This plan to do a tour within a tour, all these other things. What do you think of this new idea of what looks to be a new Topgolf series within the season?
Yeah, this is very intriguing, and this is kind of what's come out, and we're obviously hearing the commissioner talk more about it this week, but it's essentially going to be some sort of stadium, live action, live show tour promoting the best of the PGA Tour, hopefully including the likes of Tiger, Rory, and any other stars they'll get behind it. It seems to have genuine interest. A very futuristic, technology forward, it sounds like, product is going to be brought our way. But I'm giddy. I love that they're getting together in this moment and creating their own new innovative product as an aside to the PGA Tour that we already know and love. So I appreciate that. And I'm also, my mind is obviously, you know me, just wandering at the possibilities of what a live show tour could be like. Are we going to get, you know, Tiger and Rory hitting wedges from a helicopter onto a football field or something? My mind's going nuts thinking about what the possibilities are.
You know, all those things the DP World Tour does on social media where they're trying to hit a drive down that little like 1 foot wide grass strip on a, that's what we're going to get now, only they're going to be doing it for $20 million.
Perfect. We've got NASCAR and IndyCar venues ready for that. Ready to
go. There you go. Surprisingly, Saudi Arabia puts a lot of money into Formula One racing.
They do, yes. And I've seen that firsthand with the F1 track here at Austin every year. Yeah, they show up big for the race at the Circuit of the Americas. So, interesting little aside proposal brought together. But the bottom line was, Tiger hopped on the PJ. You'll notice Ricky Fowler tagged along for the ride at last week's mm-hmm. players meeting up the Delaware. 3.5 hour meeting, said it went well. Tiger immediately flew back and we got movement. So that just goes to show you that, listen, if Eldrick Woods is taking time out of his schedule to make this meeting happen, you bet something productive is coming out of it for the game of golf.
Yeah. And the two names that were absent from this meeting of the top 20 were notable. The first is someone who is supposedly qualified for the President's Cup, Cameron Smith.
Yep. That sounds about right.
So we don't know if he's actually going to play in the President's Cup. We don't know if he's even going to play in the Tour Championship. I don't, you know, who knows? We think he's bolting to live after the next week. So we'll see what happens there. And also missing was Hideki Matsuyama, another big guy in the International President's Cup team who could be bolting as well. I mean, between the two of these, if we're talking about live getting what they want, I think Hideki Matsuyama is going to give them more because of his star power in Japan.
Globally, yeah. This is a conversation that doesn't carry much weight in the United States, but over in Asia, Hideki absolutely does. And that's why we were teasing that rumor of the crazy $300-400 million offer. That could still very well be on the table, and that absence might be another step in the direction to show that. So interesting goings on with the meeting specific to the PGA Tour. As for the court battle update, unfortunately, a very underwhelming update came down in the past week, basically saying, yes, we're going to take this whole shenanigan of the LIV versus the PGA Tour players to court. However, we're looking at like late 2023, maybe even January 2024 for a start date. So we're going to put a pause on a little bit of the courtroom drama for now.
Basically, you can take your seatbelt off and walk around the cabin. It's going to be a while till we reach our destination. That's pretty cool.
So we're just...
One person who's not going to be there is Pat Perez, because he'd realized how much money it's going to cost to go to court. And he went, I don't want to do that.
I did notice that there's this slew of players who are like, I've got the wherewithal to take the live check, but I do not have the wherewithal to fight this legal battle. So for that reason, I am out.
Yes, it's just I don't know. I mean, are we still going to be talking about this in 2024? Is this going to be like back burner news all of a sudden? Or is this going to be a year and a half now of us every week talking about some new live headline? Or do you think
are we going to be friends in 3 or 6 months? The PGA Tour and the live, are they going to come to some agreement with their teeth gritted inside their tongue? The future is not bright or dark. It's just very cloudy, and we're waiting for the fog to dissipate in the next few months here.
That's true. So we'll see what happens. And as usual, we'll just talk about it every week because we don't really know what else to do. For now, though, let's look ahead to the FedEx Cup finale. They are once again at boring old East Lake for the Tour Championship Series presented by Coca-Cola or whatever the hell it is now.
Geez.
And it's got the wonderful, fantastic, something we always love leaderboard where everyone starts at a certain number. So Scottie Scheffler leading the Tour Championship at 10 under par, and no one's hit a stroke yet.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that I forget about this leaderboard format for 361 days.
Yeah.
And then you send this tweet out and show me this leaderboard the Sunday night before the Tour Championship, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this.
Yeah.
We have to grit our teeth and do the math here, because this throws off all the betting angles too, Mike, because this confuses the odds tremendously, because in theory, you know, you'd think, man, you know, I love a guy at 3 or 4 under par, like a Rory or a John Rahm, because I just love them in a Tour Championship format. But the problem is they are spotting Scottie Scheffler 6 and 7 shots. So they could really beat and outplay Scottie Scheffler and still not beat him by 7 shots to win the aggregate tournament and therefore all the money and the glory. So there's just a lot of interesting angles at play with this staggered leaderboard. We don't love it. I think we've made that pretty clear over the years.
I like the idea. And I think I remember saying this in the first couple of years of the FedEx Cup, that I didn't like that you could have someone different win the Tour Championship than wins the FedEx Cup. I always thought you should have to win the Tour Championship to win the FedEx Cup.
And they're dying to avoid that. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is just like, this is just kind of crazy. I don't know. Maybe what they should do is a shotgun start and a team format. And, No, that doesn't sound right.
I love that. You landed that one perfectly there. So nonetheless, we've got the Tour Championship starts this Thursday. Picks on Twitter again. I'm at Course of Life 1. You're at MWRINC. We say that a couple times because it's been worth it. It's been worth your time. If you've done that in the last couple
weeks. Especially over the last 2 weeks.
We're streaky, to say the least. Again, we have these month-long gaps where we wonder if we're ever going to win again, and then here we are on the hot seat going for three in a row. So let's get it done with the finale. I mean, just to give you a tease, yes, you can put your money on Scottie Scheffler. There's just not a whole lot of value there. He's already got a two-shot lead, mm-hmm. so it's going to take a mountain for someone to beat him, but it's not going to be someone too far down the list, that's for sure.
No, I mean, if you really want to throw your money away, then go ahead and put it on Adam Scott, but I yes. I wouldn't suggest it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this as well, too, is these guys who are down in like 25th or 30th, it doesn't even matter because life is so good and they made it to the FedEx Cup and last place is $500,000 anyway. So they're just cruising home this week. It's all smiles hitting next to the Coca-Cola bottles at East Lake this week.
Yeah, it's just ugh. So check Twitter for our full picks coming up there. For now, though, let's go ahead and switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I took the short drive this weekend up to Macon, Georgia, just about 2.5 hours nice. Northwest of the Savannah area, because the wife had her short documentary film in the festival. So we got to see it on a big screen, and she got to answer questions from the audience about her film. And we got to see some other interesting things out there. I got to see a short documentary about how they dress up cows in Ohio at the state fair. That was like literally dress them up as characters and things. That was very odd.
I love those offshoot corners of America where you can find weird stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then we did this extreme immersion block of films that we saw. It was in a planetarium. But it utilized that planetarium curved 360 degree dome.
Oh, yes.
To do really funky films, but took advantage of that screen. Some of which were really cool. There was one where it was a group of a cappella singers doing a song, and there was CGI graphics and stuff. And that was a really cool use of the medium. But then there was a 30 minute film about free falling.
Oh my God. And
yeah, I did close my eyes several times during that one because it was a lot of CGI mannequin bodies falling or sometimes going up.
Dear Lord.
And going around. It was like nauseating at times. Yeah, it didn't help that this was also a block that started at 9:30 at night, so we were kind of tired by the end of the day.
Yeah, this sounded very like trippy and psychedelic, and then all of a sudden got very weird and grungy and dark towards the end.
I did appreciate that the host, the person who kind of introduces the films at the end of it all, said, you know, even before that, said, if you need a break, you can go out the door. It's okay. So. It was something.
Love that. Interesting film watching experience there. Shout out to the wife too. Love that. Good stuff. Yep. Macon Film Festival. My Tuned In. Very interesting one for those who just watched Monday night's Bachelorette. Mike, here's your Bachelorette update because I know you needed it and you've been asking for weeks
really,
now.
Really? It's still on the air? Oh, okay. Fine. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to work on your brain.
As I introduced the top of the season, a unique format. We've got two Bachelorettes at the same time. Okay. So we thought that was going to lead to a lot of infighting. But in the end, what happened is they actually just kind of a few weeks in just decided to like split the guys half and half. Be like, all right, you got to pick one girl here. So they basically split the teams off. We're down to the nitty gritty. And here's the surprise that one of the guys has who he's really pulling out of his back pocket, Mike. Zach is a finalist for one of the girls' hearts. And at his hometown date, as his family's there, he's going to introduce the fact that his uncle is the one, the only, David Putty, a.k.a. Patrick Warburton. So we had a cameo on Bachelorette. So I got to say, that must dramatically improve Zach's chances in your mind, right?
Well, I can just say that while I don't care about the show whatsoever, I don't know any of the characters, I am all on Team Zach. So Zach. I mean, let's make it happen.
What a fastball to pull out for the hometowns. Yeah. You know, the biggest mm-hmm. week when you need the best performance. Oh, yeah, I got David Putty in my family, so it's no big deal.
I mean, the voice is iconic. Is he going to high five? Everything? The Zach a high fiver?
I'll send you the on demand so you can watch the entire episode, you know, by your lonesome sometime. Because I know you'd love to spend your time doing that. So
much.
That's your wrap on what we're tuned into this week.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. We've become good friends with everyone over there at the Gulf Heritage Society. That's the GHS. And they've become our resident historians of the game. Because from their Hickory Open to their conference that they do every year to everything else, you know, we learn a lot about the history of the game of golf. And this week, Alex, you got to talk a lot about course architecture, and both Pete and Alice Dye as well. You got to talk about them
specifically. For the first couple, I would say the first man, first lady of golf course architecture, and Alice Dye maybe sneaky created one of the most iconic holes in golf, which I think everyone knows and loves out there. And we certainly spend a lot of time talking about the water on this hole. So really cool conversation regarding the history of some unique holes and courses in the game here with Jim Jeselnik.
We'll get to that conversation in just a moment. But first, let's talk about our favorite and official on-course betting app of the Course of Life. That, of course, is D3, dollar, dollar, dollar. And I'm looking forward to doing a bunch of matches with people coming up when we play each other in person in New Mexico in just a week and a half.
Very much so. Absolutely. It's going to be fun. You and I are going to have a local match. But the cool thing that you can do out there, if you want to talent challenge myself, Michael, or the both of us, is you can download the D3 golf app as well, too. Be sure to find us on there. Search us, add us as a friend, and then we can play a match for money. That's right. Real money can be exchanged on the app. You can redeem that money instantly after the match is over. It's an unbelievably convenient way to bet and keep score right on your phone during the entire match. So check out the D3 Golf app and download and play today. Next up on the tee, we have this year's chairman for the GHS, the Golf Heritage Society, who's been a past president as well. I love opening up our listeners' minds to the history of the game. We're going to talk a little bit about that and everything the GHS is doing now with Jim Jeselnik joining us on the Course of Life. Jim, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to connect with you, connected with our mutual contact and Dr. Bern Bernacki, and had him on the show before. And I'd love to hear from other contacts who are all about the history of the game, which we love talking about and preserving with our audience. Let's talk about kind of your background with the GHS and how it pertains to this year's convention, which is coming up next month.
Sure. I actually got the bug way back in the year 2000. With collecting things when a number of items for sale came up from Walter Hagen's estate. Oh, okay. And I was just captivated by that giant of the game and have had a lot of really neat contacts connected with him. So I started to go to the conventions as well as the midwinter meetings that were held in Dayton, Ohio. And I even got to meet one of the founders that very first year, Bob Kuntz, in Dayton. And then I was approached and asked to be Region 6 director, which covers Indiana, Wisconsin, and Illinois. And then from being a director to being the vice president, and then several years ago prior to Bern, I took over as the president of the GHS.
Love that. Very cool. I'm curious as to, I got to ask about Walter Hagen's estate. Was there anything notable or random or interesting that you came away with that day?
You mean out of the 53 items that I won and bid on eBay?
Yeah, I'm thinking in my head, you walked out with like a ginormous bathroom robe or a cigar holder or something fancy like that.
You know, I got a number of things. Probably one of the neatest, I'm not sure one of the most valuable, but it's a set of drink mixers that are in the shape of silver bells. And you take the top off and then you pour your ingredients in. And then while you're mixing it, the bell also rings. And what's really cool about that, Alex, is that I have a photograph of the bells sitting on Walter Hagen's mantle with him in the foreground. So that's a pretty cool thing. And then over the years, I've managed to accumulate a lot of other interesting things.
Very cool. Yeah, you've got that. You've got the actual photo proof that it was a real living color item of Mr. Higgins. That's very neat. Right. So I guess with the GHS and your goals as the chair, putting together these events seems really intimidating from an outsider, thinking about what it takes to really actually make a convention go. How's that process been for you, especially for this year's event?
It's gone pretty well. I've had some experience before, Alex. I pretty much coordinated the event when it was in Chicago several years ago.
Okay.
And I also did a lot of work in coordinating it when we had it down in Florida at the World Golf Hall of Fame. However, it's really like putting a wedding together because you've got an event, multiple day event, where you've got anywhere from 200 to 250 people attending, and not just at one location. You're typically going to go to two or in this case, three different locations. So the logistics are there, but having done it before, I feel pretty good about how things are coming together.
Nice. I'm curious from an event organization perspective. I always wonder about this because sometimes you'll go to an expo or a convention and there will be a huge mass, a huge quantity of different exhibits and whatnot, but maybe not the high quality that you'd like to see. Or on the other end, there's maybe smaller conventions that go truly for quality over quantity. Where do you think you toe the line with that, with the GHS conventions?
Well, certainly we are not a Comic-Con that attracts 300,000 people. I think I read that just finished. And I'll tell you, when you come to our trade show and there's generally 100 or more tables that are filled with all different sorts of golf artifacts, it can be pretty overwhelming. Even for me now, when I get into the room, when you're a collector, you're like a kid in a candy shop. And you really don't know where to go, and you're pretty much limited by the amount of money in your wallet. So it's interesting, but ours are very manageable, and we get a nice number of attendees from outside of our membership. We always want more, but generally speaking, you're not overwhelmed by coming to our.
Very neat. One aspect that I love touching on, I've touched on with Dr. Byrne in the past, is working in the Hickory Golf Clubs, the genesis for the game and how the game was originally played. And I understand there's going to be a Hickory Golf Tournament around the event specifically. I do have one promise that I have not lived up to with Dr. Byrne and the GHS. Is I have not attended the Hickory Golf Tournaments yet, but I intend to. What's your favorite aspect of the Hickories and playing with them as well?
That's an easy answer. The favorite aspect is the sound that the club makes when it hits the ball. And when you hit a really good shot and you can see that ball take off in the air, there's really nothing like it.
Mm. It's kind of like a clicking noise, I guess. What's the best way to describe that noise?
It's a clicking noise. That is exactly correct. And what some people don't really understand until they've actually hit a hickory club is that if you know how to play the game, you can hit a hickory club almost as far as your regular club. In fact, Sandy Lyle, former Masters champion, British Open champion, is the national or international hickory champion. And the story goes around that he was on the practice range hitting a hickory club. And his caddy looked at him and said, you know, you hit that better than your regular club. So even for Masters champions, it's a thrill and it's a joy for me and everybody else that plays with hickories.
Very neat. Shout out to Sandy Lyles too. Great of the game. We see him every year at Augusta. So it's neat to know that he's still picking up the hickories and dominating there as well.
Correct.
Let's talk about a feature presentation, an exhibit within the game specifically. There's going to be some really cool content surrounding Pete and Alice Dye as well, too. For those who don't know, let's give a little context to maybe our non-golfing audience as well, too, surrounding the history of architecture in the game and where Pete Dye comes into play, because he's a name that is just synonymous with golf course design and has been for my entire life.
Correct. Pete and Alice Dye are clearly the number one couple in golf. He was very heavily influenced by a lot of Scottish architects as well as other architects like Donald Ross, Alistair Mackenzie, C.B. MacDonald, and pretty much settled his home in Indianapolis. And in fact, at age 31, he even qualified for the U.S. Open at Inverness Club in Ohio. He missed the cut, but he actually came in ahead of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. And his first major design, actually their first major design, was Crooked Stick Golf Club in Indianapolis. And that's where he actually had a home. And obviously, if people watch television and they look at the PGA tournament at Sawgrass down in Florida, the TPC, the Island Green is one of the clear trademarks, along with his bunkering and the use of railroad ties in golf course design.
Yeah, and very cool. Huge variety of courses too. You mentioned what, Crooked Stick, Sawgrass, PGA West, Harbortown. I'm sure I'm leaving out a bunch as well.
Well, there's a lot of other ones, and we're very thrilled. One of our breakout sessions is going to be with two architects, Jan Beljan, one of our members, and Tim Liddy, who actually worked for 28 years with Pete and Alice Dye.
Wow. Fascinating. Yeah, let's talk about Alice for a moment. Maybe the unheralded half of the couple, but she deserves a lot of credit. You did mention that Island Green, and from what I understand, Alice had a huge influence in the creation of that Island Green at Sawgrass, which is, I think, is arguably maybe the one golf hole in the world that maybe any person on the planet knows. And she was actually, I think, a little bit of the inspiration behind that. Is that right?
She was absolutely the inspiration behind it, because just for you and your listeners, think Florida, a lot of swampland. And they wound up getting the property for a dollar and spent months and months walking through it, developing the routing. But it was actually Alice who had the idea and suggested to Pete that they create this Island Green that continues to mystify golfers of every level.
It is. It's just fascinating, and it gets more and more fascinating every year as the years go on, because it's such a short, simple shot in theory, and even the world's best quiver at it. That's how you know it's an amazing design. Again, we're talking with Jim Jeselnik, chairman of the GHS. It's golfheritage.org if you want to check out more. I love flipping through the artifacts and collectibles that they feature on the website, but you can check out convention information there. Let's get to some quick shot questions and maybe go back a little bit into the history of the game. There's many favorite eras to talk about, maybe talking historically here over the past several centuries. Myself personally, I love looking back at old footage of Arnie and Jack arriving on the PGA Tour scene and the beginnings of their PGA Tour careers. What era do you kind of most fondly look back at the most and find yourself researching in your time at the Golf Heritage?
That's a great question. I certainly grew up with Jack, Arnie, Gary Player, all those guys. I was lucky enough to be able to attend a number of golf tournaments. I remember one time when they had the Western Open at a famous course in Chicago, and it had a semi-island green, and I saw Arnold Palmer hit a one iron to about 5 inches.
Rare breed.
I'll never forget it in my life. Yeah. But honestly, because I think I mentioned earlier that I really got started in collecting and really developing a love for the history of the game when I started to acquire the items that were owned by Walter Hagen, I would have to say the golden age of golf. Walter Hagen, Bobby Jones, Gene Sarazen, all of the things surrounded with the British Open. That would be my favorite era, just because that is really what catapulted golf forward, particularly in America.
Love that. Yeah, Walter Hagen, a legend of the game. And I guess my quick shot question for you regarding Mr. Hagen would be maybe things outside of the ropes. He always had an interesting reputation, and you can keep it maybe PG-13 if you'd like, but maybe give us a fun fact about Hagen outside the golf course that strikes you from his legacy.
Alex, he did have a real reputation for being a ladies' man. I think the thing that he had the reputation for was maybe imbibing in too many adult beverages. However, I've read stories already in books that he would go ahead and get a drink, but then he would pour it in a plant and pretend that he was nursing a drink. So I would have loved to have been there with him to talk to him and maybe see firsthand if that was actually the case, but I think we'll never really know. Certainly, there is absolutely no question that he enjoyed the company of women folk. He was married and divorced twice. So I'll let probably the readers kind of take it from there. You know, where they want to go with Sir Walter is what his nickname was.
Yeah, he's a fascinating individual, shown off in Greatest Game Ever Played and lots of other golf history pieces. Definitely someone worth a little extra research if you're a golf fan and you hadn't yet heard of Walter Hagen, a legend in his own right. Let's talk about the convention specifically for someone who is interested, maybe someone who is a fan of history of the game or someone who finds himself in Indiana or Indianapolis in September when the time comes for the convention. What can they look forward to seeing in terms of notable exhibits, artifacts? We talked a little bit about the Dye legacy, but what can they actually get their hands on there?
So we are actually going to have two different Hickory golfing events. One is going to be a little fun group gathering on Wednesday at a course called Eagle Creek, which is actually a Pete Dye design. It now has 36 holes, so some of that original 18 have been melded together. And then Wednesday evening at the Wyndham Indianapolis West Hotel, PBA Galleries will have their annual live and online auction. So it's pbagalleries.com, and preview will be during the day. The auction will begin at 5:30, and typically there will be about 250 historic, rare, and interesting golf artifacts.
Wow, live auction. That kind of piques my interest there. I like the adrenaline rush of that.
It happens all the time.
Nice. I guess you're in Indiana, Indianapolis. One random kind of unresearched fact I always heard is that Indianapolis has a lot of great steakhouses. Is that true? Can you attest to that?
That is absolutely true. They have a very famous one in downtown Indianapolis. It's been there forever, called St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
Yes,
right downtown. And there's several other ones that are located there as well.
Well, what's your go-to order if budget is no limit at St. Elmo's? What piece are you getting?
I would wind up getting the porterhouse. I like it for the flavor and the additional things that come along with it. You'll never go away hungry.
Nice. That was a lead into our 19th hole question, which we ask all of our guests. So to kind of flip that, let's say you finished a round, maybe 18, playing with the Hickories, and you get into the clubhouse after a day on the golf course. What's your favorite order to have, whether it be a meal and a drink at the 19th hole?
So kind of a funny thing about the drink. I was lucky enough to be a guest at Chicago Golf Club, and my member host ordered what's called a transfusion. It's a really lovely, refreshing summertime drink.
It is.
And recently I was at another fairly famous golf course, Marion Golf Club, and I asked the bartender, can I have an infusion? And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And so he kind of helped me order the correct drink, but it's a spritzer sort of drink with grapefruit juice and some vodka and like a 7-Up. It's very refreshing.
It is. It's becoming very trendy right now too.
Yeah. From a meal standpoint, when we have our main Hickory event at the convention at the Country Club of Indianapolis, we're very excited about going there. It's over 100 years old, Tom Bendelow design. We're going to have a barbecue meal as part of our 19th hole, as well as a silent auction. So I love barbecue, Alex. I could have it almost every day. If I were going somewhere else, maybe I would wind up having a steak, but
Now, barbecue is the right answer, Jim.
Of any kind.
Actually. That's the right answer, and I'm here in Austin, Texas. So whenever you get yourself down here, I'll give you the official barbecue tour. Sounds good?
Sounds good. Yeah, it sounds great.
Awesome. Jim, hey, enjoy the convention coming up in September. Everyone check out golfheritage.org for more information, and best of luck with the event.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to seeing everyone and enjoying some of our Hoosier hospitality.
And we're back. Great chat there with Jim. Really interesting to hear that Alice was the one who thought of the island green at TPC Sawgrass.
Iconic, right?
And not surprising whatsoever, because you know that behind every quote unquote great man is an even better woman, because
classic,
you know,
quote.
I'm not being let me try to say this without a hint of sarcasm in my voice, because I mean it. Women really run the world, and men just do what they tell us to do.
It's a smart thing to say if you have a wife, definitely.
I do, and so do you. So
fully endorse. And shout out to Alice Dye, being the real brains behind the Dye operation, those immaculate course architecture designs that we went through with Jim. If you're interested in more, or you're near Indianapolis in Indiana and want to attend that convention at the end of September, check out GHS. Love the website and all the cool artifacts from the game that they introduce us to. And I keep saying it, Mike, it's long overdue. I'm going to get my hands on those Hickory clubs soon. I'm going to play 18 officially with the Hickories. And I look forward to documenting it when that day comes.
I can't wait to see what happens when you do that. You might play better. We don't know. We'll see. And to make sure you don't miss that, make you subscribe to the podcast on whatever app you're using right now. Leave us a rating, 1 star, 5 stars. Unlike golf, the star system prefers more stars, but you can give us less stars if you want to be golf-like.
We'll just take more ratings. Quantity's fine as well, too, even if you hate us. It's okay.
Bad news is good news. That's what we say. So go ahead and do that. But for now, Alex, let's talk about your favorite time of the year, Patriots preseason football.
Yes, completely meaningless August football. I know you love it when I shove this down your throat for 90 seconds every week.
You go ahead. While you're talking about the Patriots, I'm going to double check to see if the Giants actually won last night. So.
Yeah, so there's a special breed of sports fans. You know, there's the breed of sports fans that watch every NFL Sunday, checking in on their favorite team. Then there's another special breed like myself, who not only watches every NFL game or their team, but also watches every preseason game from start to finish. That's me. And then there's the third tier, which I'm about to approach this week. Not only am I watching every preseason game, I am going to Las Vegas and attending a preseason game in person, consciously planning in advance. Only I'm crazy enough to do this, but I have a feeling I'm going to find a lot more crazy Patriots fans that are there in attendance as well. So I've officially turned preseason football into a vacation, if you can believe it.
I mean, you do what you got to do, man.
But don't get me wrong, it's a full-on Vegas trip. We'll get into the itinerary in a little bit, but it'll be exciting to see the team up close and personal one more time. A brand new stadium as well, Allegiant Stadium. I love checking. I'm a stadium nerd, so I love crossing off new stadiums, and this is one of the newer ones in the NFL, and I've heard nothing but rave reviews. So looking forward to checking that out as well, too. And from another football perspective, just a quick note for the Run Your Pool fans out there, I will be doing a weekly college football betting preview in addition to my PGA Tour previews on runyourpool.com. So if you're excited for college football, which starts this weekend, just like I am, be sure to check that out as well.
Also, because I did go ahead and double check, the Giants 2-0 in the preseason after beating the Bengals and putting up 18 points in the fourth quarter of their game.
You guys, let me just say,
I said it last week. As you know, fair weather fan here, Giants going all the way. We're going to Super Bowl. We're going to win it all.
3-0, 17-0, 3. So 23-0 is what you're forecasting.
Those Miami Dolphins, they got nothing on the Giants, let me tell you. The real reason we stopped the Patriots from going undefeated is so that we could do it many years later.
Yes. Yeah, with more games. That makes sense.
Let's hashtag always in with food.
Yes, absolutely. Our favorite food segment that ends every Course of Life podcast, where we talk about all our favorite eats and what's on the itinerary. And I mentioned it, Mike, I'm heading to Vegas. So let's get through the highlights of the food itinerary. And we're going to start first with Thursday. I've got the cabana reserved at the pool. Okay. We're talking cabana, couch, TV to myself. It's going to be quite the pool day. But what are the go-to pool snacks for the pool day? What's the vibe there?
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't go to the pool. So I really don't know what's appropriate. Whatever you want.
Usually, it's just something fried because you got to kind of balance out the other things that you're intaking.
I would think, though, you don't want to eat something that's going to make you bloated because you're in a swimsuit and you're by the pool. So,
oh, yeah. Fair play, actually. Yeah.
So
maybe it's grilled chicken instead of fried. Okay.
So grapes. You want someone feeding you dates. You know, we saw Brooks Koepka being fed grapes. So yeah,
I don't know if I got that package. Pool. I'll have to check the reservation package I got, but I'm not sure if I got that in the details.
Is the wife coming with you? Because if so, she can be the one feeding it. If not, you may not want photographic evidence of someone else.
May have to make that happen. May have to make her do that for sure.
Okay.
Cool. Part two will be Thursday night. It's dinner at our favorite place on the strip. We're going to Tao, the world famous Asian bistro. Some of the best noodles, lo mein, fried rice, amazing apps across the board. It's one of those places where the appetizer menu is like a couple pages long and you end up getting too many before you even get to the entree, but it's definitely going to be full on pig out mode there tonight.
Love it.
And then Friday, it's the Topgolf Vegas excursion. So I'll be trying a new snack there, checking out the scene. This is the iconic Topgolf Vegas with the strip in the background. So I'll be sure to post there and you'll see some highlights from the trip, but it'll be a very fun food filled weekend on the Vegas strip for me.
What's the must get food item at Allegiant Stadium?
That's a good question. I'll have to do a little more research into that, but I'm sure they have some sort of
prepared. Come on, man.
Some sort of extravagant, you know, burger with the fried chicken, bacon, hot dog, French fry, and onion ring in the middle, or something like that. Do I have to go grotesque, or should I get something more unique and jazzy? What do you think?
I mean, whatever is the most, you got to ask around and find out what everyone says you need to get there. And then that's what you need to get.
I'll ask the locals and you'll see that at Always End With Food on Instagram. What was your food content of the week? Cause I saw a few things from you this past week.
Yeah. You know, I put up on Always End With Food on Instagram. I put up my instantaneous reaction to the new Coke Dream World. This is the final Coke flavor that they're doing this year. That's different. It's supposed to taste like dreams.
What do dreams taste like, Michael?
Not very good, according to Coke. I got the Coke Zero version, so I don't know if that's going to be any different from the other Coca-Cola version. It was just off-putting. It was incredibly sweet smelling. It was very sweet tasting, a little fruity tasting, and just a little off-putting as well.
Were they trying to get or extract some sort of fruit flavor in the drink to give to you?
I don't know. I've heard that it's supposed to taste like Coke with Skittles, and I'm not a Skittles fan, so maybe that's part of the reason why I didn't like it. It was just not pleasant. I took a few sips, and then the wife took a few sips, and she did not like it either. And we had it sitting in the car as we went up to the Macon Film Festival, and the next day she grabbed it as we got out of the car to go somewhere for breakfast, and she took a sip of it. And of course, warm Coke, as we know, is not good to begin with. Warm Coke Dream World was even worse. She almost spit it out. It was pretty bad.
That's a trooper move. Very bold play by her grabbing that next day. Wow. Okay. Yes.
I will say, though, it was made up for by a really nice bagels at Macon Bagel. So if you're in Macon, get Macon Bagels for breakfast.
Shout out. Love that. Okay. So Dream World is an avoid. Well, we'll stay clear on that one for now.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Sure. All right. That was Always End With Food and a wrap on another great Course of Life episode. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button right now because you liked what you heard and you made it all the way to the end. We'll see you next week.